Is it recording?
Now it's recording.
Yay!
Go ahead.
This is the part where I stare blankly at the microphone and try to remember what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right, let's start over.
Awkward pause. I'm going to wrestle some papers.
Okay.
Now 1, 2, 3.
Okay. Hey, I'm KJ Dell'Antonia, and this is Hashtag Am Writing, the podcast about writing all the things. Fiction, nonfiction, essays, pitches, proposals. In short, as I say nearly every week, this is the podcast about sitting down and getting your writing work done. I am KJ Dell'Antonia. I'm the author of the novel The Chicken Sisters, which is coming out in December, which is finally getting close if you're listening to this in real time. And if you're not, I hope you're holding it in your hot little hands. I am also the former editor of the Motherlode blog at the New York Times, where I'm still sometimes a contributor. I vaguely consider myself a freelancer at this point. I'm working on another novel, and I'm the author of the nonfiction book, How to Be a Happier Parent.
And I'm Serena Bowen. I'm the author of 30-some romance novels and a 16-time USA Today bestseller, most recently last month.
I love that. That's great.
Still celebrating here. And
always.
We have a guest today all about that novel writing genius, right? So we're talking to Jacob Wright, who created a piece of software that we've both begun using in the last year called Dabble. Jacob is a developer, and he lives in Colorado with his family, and we wanted to talk to him today about what made him create this piece of software that we are starting to love so much, and his own writing experience. Welcome, Jacob.
Thank you, Serena. Appreciate it. I'm very excited to be with you guys today.
Our first question is, have you considered changing how you spell your last name?
Right?
Sorry.
No.
Couldn't help it.
I mean, it has so many applications. And but this way I can be Mr. Wright, and as well as writing.
It's true.
You're
like a romance hero and a writer and an aviator and really all things. It's a very useful last name you have there.
I did talk to my wife about changing her last name to Awesome. But she nixed that.
You could hyphenate that. Write Awesome. Awesome Right.
That's true. I mean,
you know, you got options. All right. Well, narrow-minded partners aside, we have said on the podcast many, many times, both Serena and I have been using Dabble, and we've really been enjoying it. I'm about to start plotting something new on it, and I'm really excited to do it that way. The last thing that I used Dabble for, I had sort of already started, so I didn't get full use of the plotting tools.
So tell us, how did this come to be? How did you discover you needed this tool and then have the wherewithal to build it?
Great question. I discovered the craft of writing, I guess you would say, 11 or 12 years ago. And my father's a published author, not famous, but published. I never thought that I would follow in his footsteps or want to, but I started learning about writing and just absolutely fell in love with the craft. I love the idea of plotting. I didn't even realize that there was so much that goes into writing a novel between character, plot, you know, dialogue, setting, everything that's there. I ate it up over the several years. And started writing a little bit here and there, but I've always had a goal to create my own software company and business. And so that took time away from my writing. And I also have had a day job that kept me busy and a family. So it came to a point where I decided I needed to either pursue my goal of writing or pursue my goal of creating a software company. Because I wasn't going to finish both, or either one, if I was trying to do both at the same time. So after some deliberation, I decided if I was to build a software company first, that would free up my time later to write all I wanted. And so I'd reached out to Scrivener a few years back and asked them if they'd be interested in a online version of their software. And they'd got back to me and they didn't seem very interested. And so when I decided to make my own software company, I thought, you know what? I'm going to make the tool that I want to use when I go full-time writing, if I ever get to that point. And since it was a passion, it was perfect. Also, it's a smaller market, so I didn't need to go and get, you know, big funding, and something that I could build on my own. So that's how I came to decide to build Dabble. There's a lot of things that went into the different features. I think you guys are very interested in the plotting aspect to it. And I think...
We sure are.
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned Scrivener a minute ago, and KJ and I also are really big fans of that, and we use that as well for other parts of our work. But what I like the best about Dabble are the cards. And I just plotted a short story on Dabble, which is actually super hard for me. I'm so used to writing novel-length fiction that creating a story that I'm satisfied with that's short is actually really difficult for me. And so I needed to plot it out almost more than I needed that for a novel. And in the plot function of Dabble, every chapter, every scene really, gets a series of cards. Like you could have, I don't know if it's an infinite number, but an awfully lot of things that you're tracking through the book as you go.
Yeah.
So I have one for setting for each scene where I write where it is. And then the next one is like, what do we want? That's all it says at the top. Like, what is the driving goal of the main character in that scene? And then this is a romance short story that's based on a trope of a fomance, like a fake romance. So I have a column that says fake romance and a column that says real romance. And I'm just keeping track of what's going on with the fake romance right there. And in the real column, it's like, what do we feel about the person, you know, that isn't fake? So it's tracking through. And then when I go back up into this scene to work on the scene, I see each of those cards that I've done for each of those things on the right side of the page. So I can't go too far astray, right? Because I've got my notes right here. They are lined up like little ducks.
Exactly.
And yeah, so how did you decide that that's what the world needed?
Well, when I built Dabble, I knew that I wanted to be able to help writers with the different hats they wear. You're writing, plotting, editing, eventually publishing. And I came across a blog post about J.K. Rowling's method of plotting. She just had a lined sheet of paper that she had drawn a grid on. And she had chapters down the left column, characters, a bunch of, and in this grid that she drew, each column was a plot line, whether it was Snape and Malfoy, the enemy's plot line, or Hagrid and Gromp, you know, to track what was going on with that plot line. And I thought,
okay,
yeah, I thought that was genius. That's a great way to do it. And I was able to see how I could build that in code, you know, and build that into the product with cards. I used cards because I felt like they were a good paradigm to the real world, because we use note cards all the time for plotting. And so,
sure.
So yeah, I went with the cards. I've through my reading on story and plotting, I just decided that the scene would be the smallest unit of story that you'd want to plot with. And so that's why I chose to use the scenes instead of chapters like Rowling did as the control column.
Yeah, I'm kind of a one scene per chapter girl, so that like I'm fighting that a little bit when I use Dabble.
Yeah. So that might be something that we change to allow you to choose to go by scene or by chapter in the future. But yeah, scenes work, because even if you have multiple scenes in a chapter, you can still attach cards to the first scene in the chapter and reference it
there.
That
is definitely true.
Yeah, it seems to me it works. I mean, it works either way. Like, I never quite know which, you know, sometimes there are a couple scenes in a chapter, and sometimes in the end I'm like, nope, actually that's chapter 27 and that one's chapter 28. And I like dividing it up by scenes because, you know, it gives you a little bit more flexibility there with what ends up being a chapter and what doesn't.
Yeah.
I feel like whenever I sort of sit down to try to plot something out on Dabble, I think to myself, gosh, I sure wish I could write where this takes. Oh, okay, I can do that here. Oh, it'd be really good if I could put the different plot. Oh, wait, yeah, I can do that right up here. I mean, it really matches the mental system that I'm trying to organize by it to the extent that there is a system. And I know that you have talked about and written about reading a lot of different plotting books and books that say, you know, can teach you how to structure a story. How much did those books how much did they inform what you ended up doing in the end?
Well, one of the things they informed was to keep the tool flexible, because there are so many different systems and ways to plot that I didn't want to provide a tool for the snowflake method or save the cat or whatever. I wanted to make sure that anybody could get in and plot their story with whatever tool that they wanted, whatever system or plot architecture, as you will, that they would want to use. So that's, I guess that was the underlying goal, is to provide a plotting tool that was generic enough, but not too generic, where it was just, some cards that you wrote notes in, but they didn't attach to anything. I wanted to make sure that there's that connection between the actual scene and the plotting that you did. It's interesting. The original design was for plot lines, but writers have used the plot grid for so many different other types of information that they want to track with the scenes, such as location, character arcs, even the draft of the scene. You know, they'd create a card that says, you know, first draft or second draft, and change that once they edit the draft. So it's been
interesting.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of that.
It's been really cool to see how flexible the flexibility be used for purposes that I didn't intend.
Is there a limit to how many plot lines or columns you can have in that?
There is not a hard limit. Eventually, you'll have too many to. It will be more of a hindrance than a help if you get too many.
Yes.
And
I'm not suggesting you should have an infinite number of plot lines. That is a very bad idea. I just wondered. One thing I like about it is that if I'm on my laptop and I'm looking at it, I might only see, you know, 5 or 6 plot lines. But if I'm on my nice big desktop, I can stretch that sucker out and I can see them all. It's not limited to sort of one viewpoint, which is really cool.
Yeah, that's nice. And it would be nice to have a zoom in or zoom out feature as well for when you want to see all of them on your laptop. But, you know, we'll get there with some of those things.
I would like to export them.
Yeah, right?
And carry it around with me.
Yeah, be able to print out all the cards onto note cards.
The cards, yeah. I'm positive that I put that on your wish list in a forum somewhere.
Yeah, that's one of the downsides to being a solo developer on a product is as much as you guys are anxious to have me finish a feature, I'm anxious to finish all of them. And I just can't go fast enough. You know, I've had to learn to be patient with myself because, you know, I can only do what I can do, and I wish I could do more.
Yeah.
Well, you just got it to mobile, and I would love to hear how you had to make that what were some of the adjustments that you had to make to the software that works on a laptop or a desktop to have it work well on, you know, the various mobile devices?
Oh, that's a great question.
And I guess we're really talking about like the adjustments we would see as writers, not the not the internal stuff.
Well, the interface was actually pretty pretty well suited for mobile already. I just needed to make sure that the left and right panes were hidden when you were looking at a page, and that the page, you know, fit within the viewport. So there was a few small changes from the user interface. The biggest change was actually stuff that you don't see, in order to make it faster, lighter, to work on mobile, to work better with spotty connections, things like that.
Mm.
So that took the months of work, whereas the stuff that you see actually took just a few weeks to get right.
So can you tell if people are using, if they're writing books on their phones?
I have the data to be able to check on how much time people are spending on their phones with the app versus on the desktop, but I haven't been tracking that. There's, like I said, with one, as a single person, you have to really prioritize your time, and there's a lot of really interesting things that I'd love to know, but don't want to take the time to look into it and do the number crunching.
Hmm. Well, you're more disciplined than I am, because I am just a sucker for data questions
right,
like that. But I've always wondered, I've heard people say that they compose things on their phone. And to me, that just sounds super difficult. But I was just curious.
Well, from the beginning, the first month that Dabble launched, people were asking for mobile. And the more I dug into it, the more I learned that it's not that people want to write a novel on their phone. There are some of those, or on their tablet, but most people, it's more of a function of, I never want to have to put my novel down. I want to always have access to it. And so, you know, writing a quick note in the car once they get to the grocery store before they run in, or writing on their, you know, on their phone while their kids, they're putting their kids down to sleep and they're sitting in their, you know, room with them. Yeah, just being able to always have access to it. And that's one of the great things with mobile, is you always have it with you.
And I just downloaded the mobile today because, like I said, I've been revising in a document that is the document that other people have, and therefore I have had to, you know, leave the comfort of Dabble and move into the evil, I don't know about evil, but the complex world of Indeed having all 85,000 words of this in a single document, which is super painful to move around with. But anyway, that's where I am. And so I haven't been doing it for a while, so I had not downloaded the mobile until today. And it is, I mean, I've just been scrolling through and playing around it before we talked.
Oh,
it's amazing. I mean, if you wanted to sit down, it actually could be really great. Like, Serena, if you were plotting out a short story or something like that, you could arguably do it on a phone or an iPad and sort of move your brain from laptop mode. I feel like it's a little more akin to working in a notebook, mm-hmm. and it's cool that way.
The tactile it's just, touch makes a big difference.
It's got a different feeling to it. Because I was playing around and I'm looking at draft one of what is now draft 8, and it's like totally different, and it's kind of funny.
Well, one of the cool things with the mobile is that you have, it's the exact same app as the web, just in a different format. So you have all the functionality. It's not a reduced or limited version just for phone. So it's nice. You can do everything in mobile that you can do on the web app.
And you did this thing, and you explained it in the blog post about the mobile, but that I think I've seen it before, but I hadn't really thought about, which is that it is an app, but it is a web app. So it's not an app that you get from the app store. It's actually still running on the sort of the larger world. Yeah. I don't know what the technicalities of this are.
You install it to your home screen.
It looks like an app once you
But it's still the web app. And it's nice because it's much smaller than a native app. Mm-hmm. If I was to package it up and provide that, it's just a web page, you know, with some JavaScript and, you know, whatever code. I don't need a... I'll try not to throw out developer terms. I'm sorry. But, you know, just... It just runs and it installs instantly. So there's some really neat things about that.
One of the things that was a little bit frightening to me back in the day when I was going to make the switch out of Microsoft Word and to, at the time, Scrivener, was just this concept of having a file format that I didn't want my book to be like trapped in there. Hmm. And it wasn't until I figured out that Scrivener was saving all of my chapters as little RTF files on my computer that I could sort of get over it and embrace it as a tool. And on Dabble, what I do is I export to Word like at the end of every day, just so I have that document as a record. But if somebody was like afraid to try it because of a new file format, sort of scary, you know, what would you tell them?
Well, I mean, that can be tough. Google Docs, you know, they don't have a file format that stores on your computer either. One of the reasons why we need to have a separate format is in order to support collaborative writing, so with multiple authors, and online, offline, and syncing between computers. When you use a regular file format, even if you're syncing over Dropbox or something, things can get ruined. Mm-hmm. Yeah, data gets corrupted, and then your file is ruined, and it's really hard to try and retrieve the information out of it. But with something like Dabble or Google Docs, every change is saved into a database, and so you have not just the current version, but every version of your document from when you first, you know, typed Once Upon a Time, or put your first plot card into the tool. That'll be a feature that we release in the coming months, is versioning, where you can go back and look at your project at any given time in its entire history, which is a kind of a neat thing. But yeah, you don't get that with a regular doc.
Right.
But we do have to take security very seriously. All of the connections are encrypted. The data that is stored on our servers is stored encrypted on the disks. The only people that have access to the data are our support personnel with Dabble, and they only access the data for support purposes. So you never have someone reading over your shoulder or stealing your work, or or hackers getting at your stuff. The most vulnerable place would be your own computer. If someone, you know, comes into your house or steals your computer or something and grabs your data that way. So
okay. Right? I don't think that's what they would be looking for in my house.
No. And that,
yes, please take my unfinished novel, finish it and return it to me. That would be fantastic.
Right. And that's a benefit to Dabble too. It's not like we're a bank system with lots of, you know, dollars. You know, there's not a lot of hackers looking for unfinished manuscripts. And so Dabble's not a high priority target.
Right.
Although we do make sure things are secure. It's probably not something that we'll ever have to deal with.
Well, I wanted to ask you about your writing experience when you were first, when you were experimenting with being a novelist as well as a coder at the same time. And can you sort of tell us how you were trying to structure things and how that now informs this tool? You said you made the tool that you wanted to use, and I would love to hear more about what you didn't have and felt like you wanted to create.
Well, I was using Scrivener before, and I loved the card, the different documents that you could organize. I didn't love that it was so open that you could do whatever you wanted. I wanted some more structure, especially to the manuscript part. I wanted a chapter to be a chapter, not just a folder that you called chapter one.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to recognize it as such. So that helped inform it. Also, I felt that we could simplify the learning curve by having a chapter be a chapter instead of just a folder. So in Dabble, you have, it follows a similar paradigm to Scrivener with folders and files, but the folders in Dabble have a specific type. So there's the book folder or the chapter folder or the part folder and the scene file. And so that allows us to be smart about how we structure everything and make sure that you don't have a scene directly in your book or a story note in your chapter or things like that. And so it helps with just the mental model. But I used note cards and tried to keep things in Scrivener, but I like to take things around with me and didn't always have Scrivener, so... notebook. Mostly I did plotting and story ideas, and then just writing token scenes here and there. And I participated in NaNoWriMo once and got to 30,000 words before I lost where I was going to go with the story and didn't know what to write next.
We've all been there.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
So that was my experience with writing is a lot of fun planning and thinking about the story and just the excitement of the creation part. And I didn't get to a lot of the hard work of putting words to paper and getting a story out that people would enjoy. I didn't even get to the editing part. I'm talking about the hard work of writing the scenes, but the first draft.
Well, we know you know how to finish something, or Dabble's not finished, but we know you know how to complete a version, because there are lots of completed things within Dabble. It works. So when you set your mind to finishing the story, you will be able to do that.
Yeah, this month I want to try and participate in NaNoWriMo this November. I've gotten some help with Dabble this in the past few months for support and things. So I'm plotting this month. I started plotting out a novel so that I don't run into the 30,000 word, finish this time.
That is exactly what I'm doing this month, and I'm super excited.
Preptober for the win.
Yeah. No, I'm super stoked. And I mean, for me, it depends on whether or not I get this revision back at a bad moment. But I have I'm excited about this new nano thing that I'm going to try doing. So I'm going to share it for absolutely no reason other than that I want to.
Oh, please
which
do.
Is, okay, so the goal of nano is 50,000 words, right?
Right.
Yep.
So when I've done it before, what I've ended up with is 50,000 words that went to about the 3/4 mark of the book. And then, like, there you are. You're not finished, but nano is finished. And, like, the energy of it has finished. And, maybe I knew where I was going and maybe I didn't. But a lot of the time for me, because I didn't maybe get to the end, there's big chunks of those 50,000 words that are, they're great, super entertaining dialogue that takes place in a place. And you can see that the car is blue and all that. There's a lot of detail. And then I have to change it. So I spent a lot of words on detail that don't end up in the book because this was a first draft. So this time I've decided I'm going to divide up my 50,000 words. And I'm going to force myself to write 10,000 words / 6 days. And that's going to be the beginning of the story. And if that ends up being a bunch of chapters that don't finish or are what we call pre-written, and then this is going to happen. And then I'm going to spend 18 days and 30,000 words on the middle. And then I'm going to spend 6 days and, however, 10,000 words is how many I have left. I did easy math. And then at the end, I will actually have, it won't be a draft that I would necessarily want anyone else to read, but I am never going to write a draft I would want anyone else to read in a single month. That's not who I am. What I think it'll be is messy, but an actual
complete
creation. Yeah. And I really feel like using the plot and the scenes and things like that in Dabble is going to lend itself to that brilliantly. So I'm excited about it.
I like that. I think that gave me a great idea. The first week of NaNoWriMo, perhaps write an outline really in depth with everything that's going to happen through the book, maybe without all the details, but just, three or four paragraphs per scene, and then spend the rest of NaNoWriMo fleshing it out. But at least then I'll know what every scene is going to be, even if I never get to the end.
Well, and even if they don't end up being exactly what you thought that they were going to be, typically what I am hoping for, at least, is that I will have spent less words on the thing that isn't, that didn't end up where I was going.
Yeah.
So, spending less, it's not like I'm polishing, it's just that there's a lot of moving my fingers involved. So, yeah, I feel like it goes from like little outline to big outline with lots and lots of words that even maybe has some scraps of dialogue in it, and then out to nano level, and then out to whole book level. I'm waving my arms around, but no one can see me.
So you'll finish NaNoWriMo with like a 0.75 draft, not a first draft.
Something like that. Yeah. that's okay. That'll be
cool.
Yeah. Or I won't finish it at all because I'll have to do something else next month. But then I will just use the same technique in January. It'll be fine.
On that note, let's take a short break.
Listeners, we've been talking a lot about NaNoWriMo in this episode. If what excites you about it isn't so much the drafting of a novel yourself, but the prospect of helping all those other thousands of NaNoWriters get their manuscript in shape for wherever they want to go with it, then you should check out bookcoaches.com/amwriting, where our sponsor, Author Accelerator, offers the training you need to turn your passion for stories into a full-blown side gig or business. You'll find all the info, as well as a free video series to help you decide if book coaching is right for you, at bookcoaches.com/amwriting. Now is part of one of our favorite parts of the podcast. I think the whole thing is our favorite, but okay, fine, whatever. Let's talk about what we've been reading. Jacob, what have you been reading and loving lately?
The book I've most recently finished is Brandon Sanderson's Warbreaker. I love Brandon Sanderson as an author. His plots, we've been talking about plots this podcast, and his plotting is so amazing. By the end of the book, it always has such, twists and huge payoffs. Sometimes in the middle, you might be feeling like there's a lot of setup to get there that is less interesting. But for the most part, his books are good and bring you all the way through. So Warbreaker by Brandon Sanderson.
Sounds good. Sounds plotty. I, too, have been reading something super, super, super plotty. I'm reading The Queen of the Night by Alexander Chi. It is every bit that sort of fat, glorious fantasy novel that I sometimes want, except that it is not a fantasy novel. It is historical fiction with slight elements of magical realism to it. But man, is it, he would have had to have a lot of plot lines. This is like French Revolution. Well, I'm learning a lot about French history. It's not exactly the revolution. It's something that came later with the emperor and it's crazy, but it's really, really, really good. So I'd recommend it.
Yay.
Awesome.
And I've been reading Crazy Stupid Bromance by Lissa K. Adams.
I can't wait to read that.
Yeah, it's the third in her series, and this very hooky idea of the men who start reading romance novels to win the women in their lives. And she does such a great job. Each book tackles that funny setup in a different way. And my favorite line from this new one is, "We always run during the grand gesture."
That is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the meta stuff she throws in there. It brings me such joy.
It does. It's priceless.
That sounds like a great read.
All right. Well, I think everybody knows where to find you, Jacob, but I'm going to tell them anywhere. If you have not already checked out Dabble Writing Software, you absolutely should. There is a 14-day free trial that has nothing to do with us. Just go to dabblewriter.com and sign up. You can check it out. You can try it out. If you don't like it, you can export everything you did into Word or just copy and paste it somewhere. Works perfectly well, but we think you are going to like it, especially if you are getting ready for NaNoWriMo. And is there anywhere else people should follow you, Jacob? Are you passionate about any particular form of social media?
We're on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And I do want to share, if you have not if you've tried Dabble before and didn't subscribe or have never tried it, and you are participating in NaNoWriMo, there is a word count tracking feature that will submit your word count automatically to NaNoWriMo once you authenticate Dabble with your NaNoWriMo account. And that allows you to keep your word count in sync without having to enter it manually. In addition to that, Dabble, its 14-day trial will be extended through the end of November. So if you want to try Dabble for NaNoWriMo and not have to worry about your trial running out in the middle of your Preptober or your November, the trial, once you hook it up with NaNoWriMo, it will last through the up till December 1st.
That is really cool, and I will be telling everyone in our Facebook group about that, as well as just telling them on the podcast, because that's great.
Awesome.
Very smart.
Yeah, and including if you've tried it before, you can hop in, set up your NaNoWriMo, and start a new trial.
Brilliant. Love it. All right. I think that we are out of here. Thank you all for listening. If you're not in our Facebook group, Am Writing Podcast. Is it Am Writing Podcast on Facebook? Yes, it is. If you're not in that Facebook group, you really, really want to be. And Serena, why don't you take us out before I mushmouth the whole?
Until next week, keep your butts in the chair and your heads in the game.
The Hashtag Am Writing Podcast is produced by Andrew Perella. Our intro music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and played by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their time and their creative output because everyone deserves to be paid for their work.
Save. Pause. Stop. Stall.